Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 15, if you would. Matthew chapter 15. We've preached the first. This is the second message on a series that the Lord laid on my heart. Faith under fire. Several messages on this particular subject. Faith under fire. You know, and I know, even as Christians, there are tough times. There's dark clouds. There's disappointing times. Health issues. Many things happen in your lifetime and mine that test our faith. And I'm praying that God will use these messages to help you. The pastor of this church, I know people are going through some deep waters. There'll be some of us that are not that will. I'm speaking to some that have been through them, and you stayed faithful to the Lord, and God's blessed you as a result of it. Here in Matthew chapter 15, we're going to start reading verse 21, read down through verse 28. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. I want you to notice that phrase, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I have those two words circled in my Bible. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord. This time together here in the house of the Lord God to worship you on this Lord's day. Thank you for the blessings we've already received. And now, Lord, as we open the bread of life, the word of God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh and anew. Use us for your glory. And God, help us to trust you no matter the problem or situation. And Lord, certainly that individual may be here today that's never trusted Christ. May today be that wonderful day and edify and cleanse and help your people. Encourage them, Lord, to keep on walking with thee. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, we know the importance of faith. You know, it's faith in Christ that saves a soul. It's that which saved your soul and mine. Faith brings answer to prayer. It really does. Faith drives away anxiety or fear. Faith always pleases God. Always. And we need to pray, as we do pray, that God would increase our faith. Sometimes in our lives, as I've already mentioned, there comes those times when our faith is under its greatest test. Now, being a pastor all these years, I've watched those whose faith was tested and they didn't do what they should do. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, because it's not easy. They didn't trust the Lord, and as a result, they got out of church, away from the things of God. Some of them might look out here right now and I can tell you who used to sit where you're sitting. It's tragic. That is a tragic. And then not only does the mom and dad get out, but if there's children, certainly they go with them. They go with them. I've seen it happen so many times. And when someone in our family is afflicted, not good. Family crisis of one type or another drives us to our knees. But I want to say here today, and I don't mean to sound pious, but I thank God I can get on my knees when there's trouble. He listens. He hears me. He encourages me. And I'm bawling my eyes out and asking God and asking Him to give wisdom. Can I say today, He never has failed. Never, never. Now, a number of lessons. And I don't have time to preach, and it won't answer every question, I'm sure of that. But we want to learn some lessons from this woman of faith. Now, would it be fair to say, humanly, from a human standpoint, when Jesus, or this lady, woman, first approached Jesus, He gave her the cold shoulder. Is that the way you read that? I mean, He just completely ignored her. Now, I know I'm speaking to some folks here today who say, "Preacher, well, I prayed, it didn't work." Prayer always works. Now, but I follow that with this. How are you praying? Seriously, or just 5 or 10 cent prayer and you expect God to work miracles? Now, this woman was going through a dilemma. No doubt about it. Let's go back to verse 22. It says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him," seriously came to the Lord, "saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Put it simply, she was demon possessed. I believe I've met people that are demon possessed. Matter of fact, I know I have. I'm not so sure I don't meet them when I go to Walmart or somebody else. I'm serious. It is amazing. It is just absolutely, if I might use the word, crazy to see what people are doing today. And God's not within 50,000 miles of it. "My daughter is grievously vexed," grievously, she said, "with a devil." Mark, if you look at his account of this, calls it an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit. She was controlled by unclean thoughts. Probably there were times when she surrendered herself to just profane thoughts and rage. That's what people normally do when they're in that condition. Now here was this mother's prayer. She goes on in that verse and says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, the Son of David." One thing for sure I believe I learned from this is that she knew who Jesus was and she believed what He said. She did. I really believe that. She accepted His deity, as I said. And she believed down in her heart. No doubt she had heard stories of other people that Jesus had healed, miracles that He had performed. And she really believed she was in the right place talking to the right person. She really believed that. And she believed that God could deliver her daughter. Now, as I referred to a moment ago, let's go ahead, let's read verse 23 again. "But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." Now, here is this woman's faith under fire, if I've ever seen it. Even the disciples come and suggested and said to the Lord, "Send her away. Just send her away." Well, she cried out for help. The Lord didn't say anything. Didn't respond. Have you ever tried to pray and seemed as though your prayer went a little ways and bounced back? Now, I want to give you a little pastoral advice here this morning. And you hear what I'm about to tell you. There's a reason sometimes why it seems like your prayers bounce back. "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You reckon God meant what He said? Well, why are they bouncing back? Folks, when you go to God and you really, now, and I know, and you know too, when people are really in a dilemma, when they're really going through a crisis, they can get very spiritual. Heretofore, they're not. And I've also saw this, when God intervenes and answers their prayer and he does what they want him to do, and doubt about 2 weeks down the road, they're back to their same old way. Wonder why that is. See, when we come to the Lord and ask him to help us, we need to understand that God blesses. We, in our Sunday school lesson, we said that God blesses and uses those that listen to and follow him and know who he is. But if we're disobedient, why should God answer our prayer? Unless we repent first. I believe every word the Bible says about God. But he is a God, he's a loving and wonderful God, but he is also a just God. Why should God honor and bless a dirty vessel? We all are who we are by the grace of God. I understand that. None of us deserve any of God's goodness. We didn't deserve salvation, and we don't deserve the least of his blessings. But if you have read any of the Bible at all, since you've been saved any period of time at all, you're reading what God says, and it's there for our observation. It's there for our taking it in. And then as we take it in, it's there for our obeying what it says. So when I come to the Lord, now the first thing we might need to do is repent. I'm not talking about under salvation. I'm talking about sin it may be in our lives. And here we are in a dilemma. Let me say something to you. In your Christian life, from the moment you're saved, you leave this life, God will never make a mistake. Oh, he gets blamed for a lot of things. He gets blamed. It's unbelievable. You know what I'm talking about. I guess one question that I've been asked as a pastor more than anything down through these years is, Pastor, why did God do this? I don't have the answer. I have some that I could give, but it won't help the circumstance at the time. He was silent. He was her only hope, and he was not answering her. When I came to know the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, 1964, immediately like that, just like you did, if you're thinking right, you started praying for your lost loved ones, didn't you? Shake your head at me. Somebody do something. Yeah. You started praying for your lost family members, your siblings, your mom, your dad, your grandparents. You started praying for those people. Well, you know what? The first time I prayed, that day my dad didn't get saved. And I haven't kept track. I could go back and figure it up. I was saved in 64. My dad got saved in 85, I believe it was. Quite a few years. Can I say it without being pious? I've seen God answer prayers. I'm speaking about my daddy now. My daddy got lung cancer. He died at 57. He smoked himself right into the grave. You heard what I said? He smoked himself right into the grave. A preacher friend of mine went to the hospital where he was. My daddy got saved. One of the highlights of the years God's given this preacher. 25 days later, my dad died. What's my point? I prayed from 1964, Brother Jim, to 1985 before my dad got saved. Now, you can tell stories of the same, similar, same thing. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait a while. Are you willing to wait on him? I know how we are. We're selfish. I'm talking about me. We want it right now. Doesn't work that way. She just, he just got silent to her. Now let me ask you this. In your life, and I may be talking to someone here today, and you need what I'm about to say, but does it seem silent when you tried to pray recently? This desperate woman, here I believe is the answer to this. She kept on crying out to God. She was persistent. She persevered in her prayer to God. In verse 23, the disciples, as I mentioned, we read there, he said, send her away. Now let me ask you something. These disciples, don't be too hard on them. Has it ever bothered you to know somebody that has more faith than you do? How the hell is it they always getting their prayers answered? I'm praying and I'm just as righteous as they are. Maybe, maybe not. Why is it this is happening? It just seems like everything they touch turns to gold. Been there? Thought that? You know what I'm talking about? Folks, it doesn't matter about someone else. It matters about your walk and mine with God. Okay? God will take care of all these things. He'll do it. His will will be had. And it may be that, you know, when you talk about someone today, right now I think about a lady. I have a hard time remembering her first name. I didn't think I'd ever forget it. Mrs. Beavers, who are you? Catherine. Catherine Beavers, prayer warrior, would you agree? Prayer warrior. You know any prayer warriors? Not trying to make you feel bad. Do you know any prayer warriors? What about it, teens? Mom, Dad, what about it? Are you a prayer warrior? We spend more time than everything else in life we do but talking to God. That lady had a stack of cards. We had her funeral. I read names from them. And every morning she got up. She spent an hour reading her Bible and an hour praying. And you could tell it too. Now, you say, well, that's an exception. Everybody can't spend. I won't argue with you. But can we just spend some time with God in His Word and pray? He does say you have not because you ask not, does He not? Why the disciples wanted to send her away? Why was that? Well, they were interrupting. They're listening to Jesus, and they said, just send her away. Let's get on with what we're talking about here. Don't have time for this. Just send her on her way. They didn't want to get involved. Do you know anyone like that? Do you know that your involvement with God has a lot to do with getting your prayers answered? Now, when I say involved, it means a lot of things. It doesn't mean just necessarily some physical labor or whatever, but just involved in the things of the Lord. I said to a man one time, I won't go into the story, but I said, you know, and he was kind of being negative toward God. I said, brother, you know something? Maybe it has a lot to do with what you do for God. Boy, did I get his attention. He said, preacher, I never thought about it like that. I said, well, matter of fact, after we get saved, God says go, doesn't he? He does. In different ways, different wording, maybe he says get busy. Fields are white unto harvest. Go ye therefore, praying for laborers. We do that. Now, what about the next thing, the dimensions of this woman's faith? Well, she was a Gentile. She was a woman of Canaan. And she actually recognized, as I said earlier, that Jesus was actually the Messiah. She knew that. Matter of fact, she called him Lord. That's not just happen chance. Matter of fact, just as another stepping stone in your Christian life, call him Lord Jesus. Yeah, let's call him Lord Jesus. Something I know it's a blessing to me. She believed that Jesus was more powerful than the devil. And just let me pause right here. When we don't get our prayers answered like we should, things don't necessarily go our way. We start feeling negative toward the Lord. Who else comes on the scene? Satan. Satan. He takes advantage of every opportunity he can makes happen or whatever to take advantage and say, well, if God really loved you, he would answer your prayers. Oh, he does that. Oh, yeah. He does that. She was able to see beyond what seemed to be God's rejection of her. She could see past that. And by the way, Christian, let me be sure that you understand that all of our trials, all of our problems, everything that happens in our lives is to help me and you grow in the Lord and increase our faith. Don't ever doubt for a moment that God loves us. Beyond words to explain, God loves us. Because God loves us, he's going to chastise us. He will. And we'd be thankful for that. It helps us. Might not seem like it at the time. Like my dad always said, when he'd give me, he'd discipline me, he'd put the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. And he'd make some comment like, hurts me worse than it does you. I've never believed that. No, sir. No. I can stand here today and tell you, I didn't at the time, but right now I can tell you, I'm thankful for every thrashing my daddy gave me. I was born and reared in the country down Southwest Virginia. When my daddy disciplined you, you knew you'd been disciplined. It was more just time out. I want to believe. I know it did. No doubt in my mind that it helped mold and make me become a man. I'm glad my daddy wasn't a wimp. My daddy was a man. Had some failures and faults in his lifetime, but God still loved him and saved him. But God will allow that to come in your life and mine. Somebody mentioned this morning in prayer time, and this lady began to feel bad, and somebody remind me later, not now, but anyway, she got to feeling bad, went to the doctor, and of course had some tests done and all, you know, what you have to do and all that, found out she got cancer all over her body. That's not good news, is it? Say, okay, preacher, if God loves me, explain that. Humanly, I can't. Of course, I don't know if the lady was Christian or not, don't know. But we don't understand. There's a lot we don't understand. But a lot of times in our living for God, our faith comes under fire. Let me say to you, Christian, today, no matter what happens, keep doing the right thing. Are you listening to me? Do the right thing. It's not an excuse or a crutch for you to make a left turn and get out there in the world and things are really going to get bad then. Things are not always going to be pleasing to you and me. No matter how much we pray, we're in the world, we're not of it. And you have a supervisor at work, you have teachers at school. Of course, teachers today are not like they used to be. Is that a first statement? Oh, my. But boy, I know what's right. You know what's right, Brother Tom? I do. You ladies know what's right? Sure you do. We all know what's right. God always honors that, but he'll never honor wrong. No. Think about the Apostle Paul. What a man of God. What a man of God. I don't have the time, but we read there where all these persecutions and all that he went through, a thorn in the flesh, God said he wasn't going to remove it. Now, there was a man serving God, three great missionary journeys, established churches. They even went back to check on them. And here he had a problem, and God wouldn't heal him. But he died, as the old saying goes, with his boots on. He died loving God. I want to meet him, shake his hand when I get to heaven. What a man of God. And others we could mention. Many. Even though it seemed like Christ rejected this woman, matter of fact, he said to her, I'm sent only to the house of Israel. And she said very sternly and with conviction and with compassion, she says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. She understood Jesus better than the disciples did. She just took the humble place, you might say. And she said, dogs eat of the crumbs from their master's table. Now, her faith in Christ, you know what it did? Her faith in Christ helped her to keep on praying. When you know something's right and you believe it would be God's will and you have freedom in your soul and your heart that what you're doing and asking God it's right, keep on praying. Keep on crying out to God. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. I got to tell this story. You're going to know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. I spend time in my prayer time praying for Trinity Baptist Church. There's some things I pray. I'm not going to share it with you. I just tell God. Amen. Well, God answered a prayer here recently, and I'm trying to figure it out. And it dawned on me that, what's the matter with you, dummy? This is what you've been praying for. You ever do anything like that? I did. And I was out somewhere riding in my car. I'd been somewhere, and I was riding my car, and I thought, yeah, that's what happened. Yes, that's what he did. God answered my prayer. I'm as convinced of it as I'm looking at you. Let me say to you today, folks, keep on praying. I could give you a list, long as my arm, of things and different people that we need to pray for. Your nation, the United States of America, has never in its history needed prayer like it does now. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, your church, every your own family need prayer. Oh, how we need to pray. How we need to pray. The Lord answered this troubled woman's prayer. He saw her great faith. Come around to the fact that he said or thought that this woman has great faith because she persisted. She kept on praying. He saw it. Her daughter was released from this demon's power. See, faith tested under fire is stronger in the next crisis. If you cave in here, what are you going to do down here? If you stay close to God, persist in serving the Lord, doing right, and he delivers, you say, praise the Lord, then down here, you can tell the Lord, Lord, you did it one time, would you do it again? He will. In your lifetime, you've been saved in a period of time. How long has he blessed you? How many times has he blessed you and answered your prayers? And he's more precious to you today than he's ever been. You know something? Folks, God, that's all. He wants to be precious to you and me. He wants me and you to trust him. And because I love him with all my heart, because he's answered all these prayers down through these years for me, and I know he'll do it again. Yeah, that's why I'm going to keep on praying. That's why you need to keep praying. You just been come out of some trouble, you're having trouble, or are you getting ready to have some trouble? That's life. That's why we not only need God in salvation, we need God every day of our lives. Every day, every moment, 24/7, we need God. Hopefully this study, this woman that just persisted, she believed God. She cried unto Him. And she said, "Lord, help me." And He did. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, please?